Chapter 18, The Second Command. The next day, Angel hardly said a word. She listened to Thea when the time came to rise and prepare for the day, then followed Thea through the palace, Vespin trailing, and proceeded to accomplish her princess duties. She met with the forebearers, Aldhelms, and barons of the districts, offering them whatever alms she could, gritting her teeth with each request. While the king was supposed to be dumping their wealth down the river, the princess spent her day distributing it. Though Angel treated the Aldhelms with the respect due their title, none of them truly had it. Most of them just asked for money for their district's well-being. Angel loathed these duties. None of these truly helped her case. These so-called charities she oversaw only funneled more money to the earls, barons, and Aldhelms, and few of them ever used their money for their citizens. Only the self-funded temples ever truly helped their communities. Nevertheless, the people of Medinaveh viewed turning down any of the leaders for funding as a cold, distasteful thing to do. It crushed her spirit. But what could she do? Any more defiance and her mother and father might lock her up. "Princess Angel, I do thank you for the honor of your company," said the fifth Aldhelm to enter her chambers as he bowed. "I am Ald Ikra, of the Promenade's Second Temple. I've come today to ask you for our season's collections early. Three of our windows have broken, and there is rotting in the—" "Vespin," Angel said, cutting off the Aldhelm. "Escort Ald Ikra to the treasurer and see whatever he needs is met." The guard nodded and obeyed the princess's command. The Aldhelm stopped and said, "Oh, thank you, princess." As Vespin escorted the Aldhelm out of the chambers, Princess Angel sighed and buried her head. "What's the matter, princess?" said Thea. Angel turned a sharp eye to her maidservant but said nothing. She'd sunk so low, now her maidservant gave her the orders, and it only appeared to others the princess still had power. Humiliating. Thea apparently noticed the annoyance in the princess's eyes because she asked nothing else and turned away. Princess Angel groaned inaudibly and turned her attention to the double doors. "I need to use the restroom," said Angel. "I'll be back to finish my work for the day." She stepped off her throne and walked to the nearest restroom. Vespin had followed her and waited outside the door. When Angel had the room to herself, she plopped to the floor, backsliding on the wall, and grunted. After having spent time in the rabbles with Ald Marin, she didn't have the stomach for these pretenders. Ald Marin truly had a heart for the truth and to serve others, while these others used their title to serve themselves. Her kingdom had grown self-centered and wicked, and she could do nothing about it. Had the king dumped any of the gold yet? Founding's rise was approaching, and Koshner would have to give the king orders once again. What would those be? She couldn't find out. Thea and Vespin had her in lockdown, whereas Shale would have kept her cover. The princess then remembered when she ran through the city without being seen, then sneaked into Aldmarin's temple. Her hands looked normal now. She closed her eyes tightly and focused with all her might. She opened her eyes and nothing changed. What was it? Had she dreamed what had happened in the city? She closed her eyes again and squeezed them hard, concentrating until it hurt. But after several minutes, she opened her eyes to find once again nothing had changed except for now she had a pulsing headache. "I must be losing my mind," she whispered. How could she possibly think she could disappear? Was she a child? She jolted at knocks at the door. "Is everything all right in there, princess?" said Vespin. "Yes, every—" She cleared her throat and placed a hand on her forehead. "Everything's fine, Vespin." She squinted at the door. Something just slipped underneath it. "Okay, just asking," said Vespin. The princess crawled toward the door to find a small piece of parchment lay on the floor. She grabbed it and turned it to face her. "The queen may be loyal to the king, but Shale and I remain loyal to the royal sage, blessed by the Miles to gather wisdom from his spirit. We both fear whatever Buon's instruction is for the next lapse, he will attempt to keep it from us to disguise his blatant disobedience. Find what Koshner's command is on Founding's Rise. I will cover you. Vespin." For the next few days, Angel did nothing to contest her mother's restrictions. She behaved like the perfect princess her mother always wanted, attending to her duties, greeting the other royals in the palace with a bright smile and perfect etiquette, allowing her maidservant to hold the door for her, fetch her food and tea. An angel even participated in another royal beauty treatment with a few of the earls and barons' wives, this time without sneaking away. She rarely saw the queen or the king, probably on purpose, but when she did, she greeted both or either of them with the same manner and carried about her day. Meanwhile, Vespin would stay a few feet behind her always, and at night would slip her notes to keep her updated on their plan for Angel to sneak into the Veiled. The princess thanked the Miles for Vespin, but not having seen his face or spent any time getting to know him saddened her. This knight had provided his courage and loyalty to his kingdom, and he had at least deserved her attention for it. Nevertheless, he never spoke unless necessary, stood several feet away, and remained in full armor. When dawn had nearly arrived, Vespin barged into the princess's room. "Thea," he said, waking her from her cot. The princess rose from her bed, but she'd been out of sleep for some time now. The maidservant moaned and rubbed her eyes. "What is it?" "There's been an incident in the kitchen. All maidservants are being requested to help before breakfast. You must go, quickly. I will stay and guard the princess." Thea looked around as if she didn't know where she was, then stumbled to her feet, put on a dress over her nightgown, and stumbled out the door half asleep. Vespin glanced out the door both ways, shut it, then turned to the princess on her bed. "Okay, princess," said Vespin. "You're free to go. I can only keep watch for so long. Be quick." Angel hopped out of her bed and hugged the guard. He gently tapped her back and weaseled his way out of the hug. "Thank you, Vespin," said Angel. "May the spirits reward you for your loyalty." He tipped his head. "Go." Angel scurried out the door. Whatever distraction they had caused in the kitchen, it proved great enough to keep most of the palace halls empty. Angel had little sneaking to do, and arrived at the Veiled in no time, climbing the roof to wait for sunrise. While waiting, she looked at her hands and feet, fear growing inside her. How had she disappeared? Was it something wrong with her? Did she have some kind of curse? Had she lost her mind? She'd often wondered who she could ask about it, but never could decide on telling anyone. It was her secret to keep, and she'd find a way to learn what it was. Koshner trailed the king down the path to the Veiled, and Angel stayed low on the roof, ducking out of sight. She watched them enter, then crawled to the other side to find them walking to the Veils, Koshner entering and the king awaiting on his knee. Angel's eyes fixated on the Veils, the memory of a voice echoed in her head. How could the Veiled have called to her? Light burst from the Veils, making Angel catch her breath and the king jump back. The bright white light beamed into the skies, lighting the thin sheet of clouds at the feet of the Veils. The light slowly faded away, and Koshner slowly left the Veils, glaring at the king.
What is it?
Asked King Ozias. The spirit is furious, said Koshner, that not only have you attempted to not follow his orders exactly, but in your hesitance, you've refrained from following his orders at all. The gold and silver remains in its entirety. Now he tells us the curse upon our wealth will send an attack of the Feld into 3 of the 12 kingdoms this lapse, and they will overtake them. Nevertheless, he has promised the curse may yet be lifted by dumping the wealth and following his next order. Koshner's calm demeanor and monotone voice sent chills in Angel's body. Whatever the sage had seen in the Veils had disturbed him. Koshner looked at the ground and shook his head.
What, Koshner?
The king asked.
What is his next order?
The royal sage looked back at the king with a squint in his eyes.
How could you have kept it from me for so long, my king? How could you and the queen refuse to tell me?
The king furrowed his brow.
I don't know what you're speaking of. You'll have to tell me.
Buon's instructions, said Koshner, is for both you and the queen. Together, you must tell Angel who she truly is. Something rushed through Angel's veins she couldn't put to words. Fear, excitement, terror, anxiousness. Whatever it was, it caused her to lose the feeling in her body, so she deflated, mouth agape. Who was she? Was she not truly the king and queen's daughter? Did she belong to another kingdom?
No,
King Ozias said. You don't understand, Koshner. I can't. Did you not hear me? Asked Koshner, a vein bulging from his neck. 3 kingdoms are going to suffer because of your arrogance. You must tell her. You speak of things you do not understand, the king shouted. If I tell Angel who she is, she may leave us. Koshner threw down his staff.
What will it take to get through to you, King Ozias? The longer you refuse to heed the Spirit's wisdom, the more power the Feld obtain. You're letting them win. I, King Ozias looked around the veiled, then into the eyes of the sage, then turned and walked away without saying a word.